Have you ever wanted to take the gospel where it's not yet been preached, to proclaim Christ where he's not known? Well, the Apostle Paul has this exact moment in the book of Acts chapter 16 when he's called to go to an area called Macedonia. Now, you may or may not be familiar with this place and within this chapter, but there is so much that is packed in this one passage that we can learn from today. Now, if you've been to a missions conference, if you have had that time where you can focus on the Great Commission, undoubtedly you have heard about Macedonia. But if I can, for a moment, ask you to let's clear our mind of everything that we know, everything that we have heard, and maybe we can look at this chapter today in a whole new light. I'm Damon Matichera. Let's talk missions. Hey everyone, welcome back to the show. I'm glad that you've tuned in once again as we look at the Great Commission. Now, my goal today, even my goal anytime I do this podcast, is to really help you understand the practical and personal application for the Great Commission. Because it's not enough to look at the Great Commission through this merely academic or doctrinal approach. If all we have at the end of the day is a lot more information, I don't think we're better off. I don't think we're in a better position to reach the lost and to make an impact on this world with more data. We don't need more data. You can pick up your phone for that. You can Google whatever you want. But what we need is we need more investment. We need more of ourselves in the game. We need to ask ourselves, okay, how has the Great Commission had an effect on me? Ask yourself that question. What effect has the Great Commission had in your life? Now, obviously, if you are a believer, if you're saved, well, then it has had a very big effect on your life. But besides that salvation, what effect has the Great Commission had in your life? Because if it hasn't affected you, well, then it's not going to affect anyone around you. If you are not motivated and inspired by the Great Commission and the call to action that Christ gave his disciples to go and to make disciples, to go and to tell people about him, about the hope that we have in him, if we're not affected by that, well then, what are we affected by? If we're not affected by it, well then, how can we expect people in our lives to be touched by something that doesn't even touch us? You know, and that's the problem with life. We're so distracted with the things and the cares that are going on around us that we rarely have time for what truly is important. And so that's kind of our goal with this podcast, is to help you, to encourage you, and to motivate and inspire you to go out and to do something with your faith. We live in a very big world, right? I mean, here in Zambia, Africa, where we have our mission, you know, the Matichera family, we've been serving here for 23 years, and God has done great things, amazing things. It has been such a journey to watch God work in and through us, and to know that we are a part of what God is doing in this country in sub-Saharan Africa. Right now, we're working on our fifth church plant in the city of Chapada, and it's been amazing. We have such a great team of missionaries. We have a great team of local believers on the ground. People are getting saved. People are getting discipled. And I just can't wait to see what's going to happen next. But as we watch God bring these believers together here in Zambia, Africa, we are raising up a generation to go out and to tell other people. That's the whole point. We're trying to build this discipleship mentality where the Great Commission is not merely about learning and learning just for the sake of learning, but actually going out and doing something with it. Even with the people here in Zambia that we're teaching, that we're raising up, we're telling them that, hey, you have a responsibility. The Great Commission does not end with you because a missionary came and told you the gospel. You have to go and send it out again. You have to go out and make the Great Commission real in the context of your life. And so do you if you're tuned in today and you're listening in the United States of America or wherever you are. You need to understand and apply the Great Commission in the context of your life. What effect does the Great Commission have on you? So before we get into today's discussion, as we look at Acts chapter 16, if you do have questions about our family, who we are, what we're doing in the country of Zambia, let me just encourage you to go to our website at hopezambia.com. We have all of our newsletters, we have updates, we have articles, everything that you would want to know and more is just right there on the website. And even if you just want to write us an email, all that data is right there. But listen, we want to hear from you. We love when people write us, when they call us. You can reach our line at area code 585-333-9586. And if you want to send us a text message, again, we would love to hear from you. So in Acts chapter 16, verse 9, I love this chapter. Let me just say, I love this chapter. Acts chapter 16, verse 9, Paul is getting a vision. And he has this vision, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night, and there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." What an amazing call to action. Very clear, very precise. A lot of people would say, man, I wish we can get visions today. But understand something. I mean, back then they did not have a completed revelation. They didn't have the Bible as a book of 66 books compiled, a canon together. They didn't have any of that. They had visions. God appeared to them. God spoke to them. They did have some of the writings in the Old Testament, and obviously Paul is in the midst of writing the New Testament right now at this point in time, but you have access to something better. You have a Bible. You have an inspired word of God, and God can direct you. God can talk to you and communicate to you in just a clear way, just as clear as he did in Acts chapter 16 with this vision that Paul has. But Paul receives this vision saying, come to Macedonia. Now, Macedonia, it really embodies going where the gospel is not known, preaching Christ where it's not preached, opening up new areas for evangelistic efforts. Macedonia is just iconic for pioneering, going and having a pioneering work for God. There is so much happening in Acts chapter 16 and a number of different people that are being introduced to us. We have Timothy, Paul's son in the faith. And while he wasn't the result of him going to Macedonia, he's definitely fruit to the ministry of the Apostle Paul. But we have Lydia, the seller of purple. We have the demon-possessed girl that found deliverance. We have the Philippian jailer who was the guard of Paul and Silas, keeping them in the prison. But we know the story and how him and his family came to know the Lord. You know, when we think of the Philippian jailer, we think of him and his famous quote, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" But all of these people in some way represent fruit. They represent the highlights of the book of Acts. And we find them all in this one chapter. Jesus said, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain." You know, that first step, if you want to find fruit, is you have to go. You have to go and get it. These people, these conversations that Paul was going to have, they were all waiting for Paul in Macedonia. Paul had the vision to, hey, come over to Macedonia and help us. And who was there in Macedonia waiting for Paul? Lydia, the demon-possessed girl, the Philippian jailer, and their families. All of these people, and so many more people. We're just looking at the highlights right now. But these people were there. And had Paul not gone to Macedonia, had Paul not gone to this area that represents going where Christ was not known, then we would not have their stories today. We would not know of their conversions to Christ. So in Acts chapter 16, we're going to kind of just read a few verses to get the context of what is happening and where Paul is in his life. So Acts chapter 16, verse 1, the Bible says, "Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess and believed. But his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren which were at Lystra and Iconium. him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews, which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. So we find this chapter starting with a story of Timothy. Our first introduction is really on this young man. And while he's not in Macedonia, I just want to talk about him for just a moment, because there are some very notable things to say about this young man named Timothy. You know, his father was a Greek. And the Bible tells us twice, over in verse 1, his father was a Greek. And then in verse 3, it talks about that they all knew that his father was a Greek. Timothy had a lot of reasons why he could have quit. He could have maybe not participated on the same level as all of other Paul's companions. He could have looked at Paul and said, you know, Paul, I feel flattered that you want me to go with you on your missionary journey, but am I really the best guy? I mean, I'm not circumcised. My father's a Greek. I don't have that pure Jewish lineage. Maybe I'm just not the guy. But you know, we do not find Timothy with this attitude. We find him willing. He had a lot going against him, but even with all that, he was willing to do whatever he had to do. I mean, he was circumcised. He was circumcised because of the Jews that were in their quarters. They just wanted to serve God. He wanted to serve God, and he was willing to do whatever he had to do. But you have to have a lot of respect for Timothy, because he helped Paul. And Timothy would become one of Paul's greatest companions and friends. And we have the book of 1 and 2 Timothy, two books that were written to a young man in the faith as Paul encouraged him in the Lord. But Timothy, really, he's a great guy. And there's a lot that we can say about him. But as we move along in this chapter, you know, I think one of the other aspects of this passage that we need to point out is that Paul here is sensitive to the leading of God in his life. He's following God. He wants to know how God is leading him. A lot of times in our own lives, we have these notions that, you know, we pave the way and we have this vision and God just is going to follow us with what we want to do. Now, look at here in verse number 6. Paul here wanted to go to Phrygia in the region of Galatia, and he was forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. I mean, God basically is saying no to Asia. You know, he wanted to go to Asia. Have you ever wanted to do something and God closed the door? I mean, how does that feel? A lot of times it's frustrating because you feel like you have direction. You feel like, oh, this is the area that I feel God wants me to go in. This is the direction that God wants me to take, only to find out that it's not. And it's kind of deflates your attitude and you feel like, oh, whatever. Whatever is next, I have no idea what to do from here on out. And you know, Paul could have felt that way, and who knows, maybe he did. And what's even worse is that when we get to verse number 7, after they came to Mysia, they essayed to go to Bithynia. They had the desire to go to this place called Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. Again, strike two. I mean, Paul wanted to go to Asia, and God said, nope. Paul wanted to go to Bithynia, and again, God said no. Strike two. I mean, Paul here is really trying. He wants to go and do something for God. He has plans. He has goals. He has this idea of why this area would be good to start in and to go and to maybe set up a base. Now, it's interesting. Paul would eventually go to these places, but not now. Paul would go to Asia one day, but not today. That wasn't God's plan. God had a plan for Paul. But you got to love and admire Paul, because even when God is just shutting the door, one door after the other, telling him, no, I don't want you to do this. No, no, I don't want you to do that. Paul doesn't give up. Paul doesn't throw the towel in. He's not discouraged. What do we find Paul doing? When God closed the door, he just starts looking elsewhere. He is modifying his plan. He's being sensitive to the leading of God in his life. And I think we can learn a lot about that. As God opens and closes doors in our life, we need to be sensitive as we are in his word and as we're trying to find direction. I mean, I think that's one of the greatest challenges in the Christian life, is making sure that we're following God's will, making sure that we're being sensitive as God leads us, that we're not trying to take the helm and just pave our way. I mean, how many people, if they wanted to go to Asia, they would just go to Asia. They'd be like, God, you know what? I have this door open. I know that you want me to go here. And yeah, maybe the Spirit is not leading me, but I'm going anyways. And we just go for it. We plow through because that's what we want and that's what we feel God wants us to do. But maybe God doesn't want us to do certain things. You know, how do we react to that? If God does reveal, if God puts a check in our spirit saying, no, this is not my plan for you. I have something better. Well, then don't get discouraged. Don't get upset. Don't get frustrated. But just be flexible. Here in Zambia, we say that flexibility is the key, because you could have plan A, plan B, plan C, you know, and it seems like many times all of these different plans that we have just end up getting canceled. You know, even with our building project right now, I've been trying to get a bulldozer, the one and only bulldozer to clear our ministry base area. And I've been waiting week after week. And it's just one problem. Oh, it broke down this one week. And oh, this other week it had to go on a different job. And now the transmission is completely blown. And meanwhile, I'm like, okay, well, I want to move forward. So we're doing? We're trying to look at different aspects of what other things can we do on the property? How is God leading us? And so God has a plan, and maybe he doesn't want us to do that particular thing right then and there. But God does have a way forward. We just have to be mindful of that. We have to be open to it and not to just think that, oh, it's only this way. It's this way or nothing. It's our way or nothing. If it's not how we're planning, well, then, you know, then there is no plan. We're throwing the plan out. If we felt that way, well, then nothing would ever get done, especially here in Zambia, because we're usually working on, you know, plan D or plan E when you go down the line, because, you know, sometimes things, they don't go the way we think, but we have to make sure we're following God. So in verse 9, in Acts chapter 16, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night, and there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. Now, again, we just finished verse number 6, where Paul was told no to Asia. We just finished verse number 7, where Paul is told no to Bithynia. And he had to get through these two verses, verse 6, the rejection of verse 6 and the rejection of verse 7, so that he could have the vision in verse number 9. If Paul had given up when he was told no of God, when his plans were changed, if Paul was discouraged so much that he just, you know, decided, well, enough of this, I'm going to do whatever, then he never would have gotten the vision in verse number 9 to go to Macedonia. So as Paul continues in verse number 10, and after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. What a great verse. We see him not waiting, not sitting down, you know, trying to, you know, do this and that. He was all ready to go. He was ready to go to Bithynia. He was ready to go to Asia, and that didn't work out. And so now that he does have clear direction, he's going for it. And we even see this even more in the next verse, in verse 11, where Paul says, therefore, losing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis. He had that straight course, really indicating they were determined they were going to get there. They weren't stopping over. It wasn't a sightseeing trip. They weren't going to the market and, oh, let's go to this port and, you know, get some trinkets or souvenirs. None of that. They just wanted to go with a straight course immediately to where they knew God wanted them to go. They knew God was in this. And once you know God is in it, then just go for it. Just go for it. But in verse number 12, and from thence to Philippi, which is in the chief city of that part in Macedonia, and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days. And so finally they get to Macedonia, but what a journey to get there. And isn't that life? I mean, really, think about this. Does life ever work out the way you think it's going to? Just to get to where you are today, looking back through the different things that's happened with you through the years. I mean, would you ever expect things to work out the way they did? A lot of times, no. A lot of times we look back and we're like, yeah, no, I never expected that. And I wasn't planning on this. But you see, a lot of times God works through these moments and God has a bigger, grander plan. And he's trying to show us what he's trying to do and what he's trying to accomplish in our lives. And sadly, we tend to be the one to get in the way of God's plans. We tend to be the one that, because we don't understand and because we don't see the big picture, we tend to short circuit and we're like, my plans are up in flames and I have no idea what God is doing and I have no idea where my life is headed and which direction I'm going in. And so we quit and so we get discouraged and so we give up on the plan, on the calling that God has for us. Listen, my friend, don't give up. Paul would never have gotten to Macedonia if he gave up, if he was so down and discouraged because his plans were changed, because things didn't work out the way he expected. You know, we really need to acknowledge God in our life that he knows best, that he has a plan. And even if we don't understand it, even if we're still wondering what that plan is, I mean, we see time and time again, different people in the Bible that God used in a great way. They didn't know the plan. They didn't have this grand view of the big picture. But what they had is they had faithfulness for today. Paul was faithful on that day and every day from that day. We find different people. We find Abraham, a guy who God called him. He didn't even know where he was going. He was just going out by faith, following God. Okay, think of even Joseph in the Bible. Joseph, he had no idea when he was going through the different things in his life. He ended up in prison as well. I mean, do you think he understood God's plan? And we could go through character after character, person after person in the Bible, people who had no idea what was going to happen, but God used them. You could look at Daniel in the lion's den. I don't know what Daniel was thinking as he was being thrown down into the lions. I mean, maybe he thought that was it. I mean, there's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I mean, thrown into the fiery furnace. Do you think they really understood the plan at that moment in time? I mean, they said, hey, our God might deliver us, but even if he doesn't, we're not going to bow down to your image. And so even if you don't have the big picture, just as Paul did not have the big picture at this point in time in his life, don't give up. Don't give up on finding what God is trying to do in your life, because there is something waiting. At the end of the journey, there might be a Macedonia. At the end of the journey, there might be people that are waiting for you, that are just waiting. They're there. But for you to get there, you have to trust God. You have to follow him. And what we're going to find in this chapter is that every moment in Paul's life, as he meets these different people, it's surrounded by prayer. It's surrounded by a submission to God. And when we go to God in prayer, that's exactly what we're doing. We're showing humility. We're showing that God knows best, and we are his servants, and we need his direction. When we don't take time to pray, it's because, you know, we think everything's under control and we don't need God and we don't need to depend on him. But we need to make sure. So we're going to look at three different points in this chapter as we look at the different characters. We're going to see that we need to follow Jesus. We need to acknowledge him. Number one, when we are surrounded by the safe and familiar. Number two, in times of frustration and inconvenience. And then number three, we need to follow him when service requires sacrifice. And so hopefully as we go through this chapter, as we look at the different characters, as we look at Paul in his own life, what he's dealing with, and even what he's feeling as he's talking to these different people, we're going to see that, you know, his life is not too different from our own, because we go through frustrations just like Paul. We go through times of doubt, perhaps just as Paul went through. And when we look at Paul and how he was committed and faithful, when we look at Paul's life and we see that, hey, he did it. He was sensitive to God. He did follow God. We can be encouraged in that as well. And we could say, if he could do it, so can I. If he could follow God and be sensitive to God's leading in his life, well, then so can we. And so let's be encouraged as we look at this chapter and as we go through these different people that Paul dealt with, the people that are waiting for him in Macedonia, this place where God is bringing Paul. And ask yourself, who is waiting for you right now? I mean, who are the people that are waiting for you to give them the gospel, to tell them about Christ? Just like there was Lydia, the demon-possessed girl, the Philippian jailer, and all of their families, these people were waiting for Paul. Essentially, they were just there living their lives, but they were waiting for Paul. God was making and bringing them together for that divine appointment. Ask yourself, which people are waiting for you? Which people does God have in your life for you to talk to deal with, and to give the gospel to? You know, there are divine appointments. There are appointments that God has orchestrated. We call them opportunities, and we should be ready. We should have that attitude of Paul to just go on a straight course, to immediately follow God's will, to really bathe everything we do in prayer so that we know that we are where we need to be. And when we do, I think God will bless it. God will bless our life. God will bless the work that we are involved in, because it's not our work. It's his work. And we're working with him, and he's working with us, and we're trying to be sensitive to his will, because that's what it's all about. The Macedonian call was not just another journey. It was God's journey for Paul. It was God's plan for Paul. There were places Paul wanted to go to. God said no. There were other things Paul wanted to do, and God said, let's wait on that. And God brought Paul to people who were ready to hear the gospel. And there are people out there that are ready to hear the gospel. A lot of times we get discouraged because we try to talk to people and we get rejected and rejected. And it seems like so many people today just don't want to hear it. But let me encourage you, there are people that do want to hear it. There are people that are ready to hear it. And should you go to them and should you bring up the gospel, not only are they ready to hear it, but they are ready to respond to it. I mean, just the other day, we're working with different people. We're always meeting new people. And it's amazing because you can tell sometimes there are people that are just closed off. But then every once in a while, you meet someone and they're so open and they want to hear the gospel. And people get saved and people want to grow. And you look back and you're like, wow, what a journey. And if Paul were to look back at this chapter, this chapter probably is one of the highlights in the whole book of Acts. And it starts with Paul just following God. And so how are you following God today? We talked about how we need to make the Great Commission personal. We need to apply it for today. We need to ask ourselves, how is the Great Commission having an effect on me? Well, that's the question that Paul had to ask as well, because it's not about us. Even the message that we're preaching is not about us. We are preaching about Christ. We are preaching about the cross. We're preaching how they can find truth and rest in him. But the moment we make it about us, then we're doing our own thing. The moment we make the gospel about us, the moment that we make our work about us, our ministry, everything that we're involved in, we cannot make it revolve around us and our agenda and what we want. We are but servants of God, and we always need to be receptive to how God is leading. And that is exactly what we are seeing here in Acts chapter 16. So as we look at this chapter and we go from one divine appointment to the next, we're going to look at Lydia. We're going to look at the demon-possessed girl and the Philippian jailer, and we're going to learn how God used Paul and where Paul had to be in order for him to be used to take advantage of these opportunities that God was bringing his way. But understand one thing, it did not always go well for Paul. In this same chapter, Paul was beaten. He was whipped. He was persecuted. He was thrown in jail. All of that happened in this chapter. And you're like, man, I'm not really signing up for that. I don't want to go through persecution, but tell me something. That famous verse where the Philippian jailer looked at the Apostle Paul and he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" How many people have used that scripture? How many people have remembered that line, that particular witness where the Philippian jailer was asking Paul how he could be saved? That one moment in time has made such an effect on history. Throughout the last 2,000 years, believers have remembered this story. And you know what? Paul would never have found that moment, that Macedonian moment, had he not been persecuted, had he not been beaten, had he not been put in prison. He would never have reached that moment. And so a lot of what we look at as just terrible things and hard times and just the bad moments in our life, I wonder if those could be turned around if we looked at them in a different way. And if we went through those hard times asking, how can God use this moment? How can God use this moment that appears to be really bad? I mean, getting beaten up is not a good thing, right? It's a bad thing. I mean, no one wants to go through that. But when we do go through those times, when we are persecuted, if we would just ask ourselves, you know, what is God trying to do? What could God be trying to do in my life right now? What divine appointment, I wonder, is God bringing my way? Do you know what that is? It's being receptive to God's leading. It's looking for God and how he's working in our life. That is what really defines this chapter, especially with the Apostle Paul. When he was trying to find where to go, what was he doing? He was looking for God. He was willing to cancel plans. He was willing to reroute his direction based on where God was leading him and where the Holy Spirit was directing him. And even when he got to Macedonia, again, things didn't go that great. There were times of hardship. But even through that, he didn't look at that and say, oh, this must be God telling me no. I mean, this is a hard time. God doesn't want me to go through hard times. No, he said, you know what? Where is God in this? How is God leading me? And each step of the way, at each of these appointments, Paul was looking for God. And that is why, and again, go through and read the chapter, but at each of these three witnesses where he met with Lydia, the possessed girl, and the Philippian jailer, he was either in the act of praying or he was going to pray. Now, is that a coincidence? Is that just by chance that each of these defining moments, these three moments really encapsulate the whole book of Acts? But at each of these times, he was either praying or going to pray. And I wonder, if we are putting ourselves in a position of submission to God, reliance on God, where we're looking for him instead of trying to do it our way, if we look to God and if we're putting ourselves in the state of prayer, that's what prayer is, right? We're looking to God for the answers. We're asking him. We're interceding. We're saying, Lord, I don't have the answer. Would you give us wisdom? Would you help us? Would you empower us? We're looking to him for guidance, for strength, for power, for direction. That is submission. And when we do that, when we put ourselves in that position, I think God can then work. I think God can do something with us. And God does want to do something with us. He wants to do something with you. And there are people that are waiting for you to get on board. There are people that want to hear the gospel. And when you follow God, God will arrange that divine appointment. And he'll bring those people to your life. Because you'll be following God. You'll be following his leading. And the Lydias of life, the demon-possessed girls and the Philippian jailers of this life, they'll all be there waiting. But until we go to Macedonia, then those people will never be reached. Until we open ourselves to God and to his leading and to his direction, we'll never meet these people. So thanks again for tuning in today. This is going to be a really exciting topic as we look at Acts chapter 16. Maybe take a moment to go through the chapter, read it verse by verse, familiarize yourself with what's going on. And then in our next episode, we're going to get right in as we talk about Lydia. And it's a really exciting topic. So again, thank you for tuning in. Thank you for praying for the Matichera family. We really need all the prayer that we can get. We're excited about what God is doing here in the country of Zambia, and we as well are excited about what God is going to do in your life. If you want to talk to us, maybe write us a letter or send us a text message, you can go on our website, again, at hopezambia.com, or maybe even send us a text at area code 585-333-9586. So from all of us in the Matichera home to all of you, wherever you are tuning in from today, take care and God bless.